Continue here in person. Tonight we're up to Parshas Ekev. You know, in the beginning of this shiurim, when we gave Bereishis Noach Lech Lecha, we actually had a few here in Shul, and then we had to stop giving them in Shul for a long time. Baruch Hashem just started up again. But a number of the weeks that we started with this series of Parshas Shiurim, we only focused on the first pasuk in the parsha. We spoke about the first word and the first pasuk for a while. And in this week, I mean, there's definitely a lot to say in Parshas Ekev. There's a lot to talk about in Parshas Ekev. But I want to focus, of course, on the first pasuk, on the second word, the name of the parsha. The name of the parsha is, of course, Ekev, because it's a word that so many Rishonim and Achronim spend a lot of time talking about, because it doesn't need to be there. V'haya Ekev Tishmun. Why doesn't it just say V'haya Tishmun Es HaMishpatim Eila? When you will listen to these laws, what does it mean V'haya Ekev Tishmun? And that's what everyone is bothered by. What does Ekev mean? And when you look in Rashi, how does the Art Scroll even translate it? This shall be the reward. Ekev is the reward. And that's what Unkelos says, V'chalaf diskablun yos dinayo ha'ilein, that this is what you'll get when you accept these laws, right? That Ekev is a lashon of schar, the reward that you get. You look in Rashi, Rashi has a little bit of a different take. Rashi has a little bit of a more famous take. V'ya Ekev tishmon, right? That if you listen, this will be your reward. That's Unkelos. And again, on Unkelos is a certain question. What is Pshat? What, it's a strange structure to the Pasuk, if Ekev means reward. And that's why, you know, very often Rashi will just say, Kitargumo, you have a difficulty in the Pasuk, look at what Unkelos says. And Unkelos is translating and explaining the Pasuk. But over here, via Ekev Tishmun, Rashi departs from Unkelos, because again, there are difficulties with Unkelos's approach. And Rashi says, Im ha-mitzvos ha-kalos, sh'adam dash ba-akev of Tishmun, that if you will observe, you will keep the mitzvos kalos, the very light mitzvos, she'adam dosh ba'akevo, that a person treads on, that a person steps on with her heel, right? So what does the pasuk mean according to Rashi? The Torah is telling us, Moshe Rabbeinu here is telling us about the rewards that you're going to get. And what's the test about really getting the reward? V'haya ekev tishmun. That if you're going to listen to the mitzvos that are Ekev mitzvos. Ekev means heel, and hence it means mitzvos that a person steps on with their heel. Meaning, there's great significance to these insignificant mitzvos. That's what Rashi is telling us. Why is there such significance to the insignificant mitzvos? So this is something that we've touched upon a number of times in the Pirkei Avos Shir. For those that come to the Shabbos afternoon Pirkei Avos Shir, and this is something that comes up obviously many times in Pirkei Avos, but what the Lubavitcher Rebbe and a number of others explain is that Vayeikiv Tishmun, and again let's look at it from a little bit of a broader theological, almost mystical perspective, that when you talk about Hashem, there's no such thing as big and small when it comes to Hashem. Hashem is infinite, right? So therefore, when it comes to Hashem, there's no difference between the insignificant act of ripping a leaf off a tree on Shabbos versus a person, I don't know, stealing from someone else. Obviously, there are different types of mitzvos. One we would think of, what do you mean? That's horrible, that destroys the universe. A person steals, that brings helter-skelter chaos to society. It destroys the world. Ripping, like literally sitting on grass on Shabbos and just picking a blade of grass. You're like, oh, one is so much worse, right? Which is worse? The stealing, of course, right? But mitzad halacha, from halacha's perspective, you can make a big argument that which is worse? Picking off the blade of grass on Shabbos, right? Really? Why? That's so tiny. That's so insignificant. There's no such thing as insignificant when it comes to Hashem. Hashem is infinite. Hashem, there's no concept of time. There's no concept of big or small. And that's what the Gemara is trying to tell us when it tells us that every malach, that every blade of grass, like, has a malach, that's memuna, has a malach telling it, grow, grow. What does that mean? When it comes to Hashem, everything, you know, who asa osav yasel chalamasim, he's bor yuman gil chalabruim, then when it comes to Hashem, there's no such thing as big as small. So therefore, what's Moshe Rabbeinu telling us? Vayakev tishmon, if you're going to listen to even the small mitzvahs, and again, small, there's no such thing as small, but what does small mean? Small means that you think are small, meaning that you have a certain perspective, that this is something that's small, this is something that's insignificant. So what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, vayakev tishmon, that you have to banish that mindset. When it comes to Hashem, there's no such thing as big as small. And you have to recognize, vayakev tishmon, es hamishpatim eilu shmartim asisem osam v'shamar adonai elecha l'chasa bris v'sachesed asher nishpal avosecha, that it's davka keeping the small insignificant things to us that will merit Hashem guarding his covenant and the kindness that he swore to your ancestors. Why? Why is that so important? Because the covenant was based upon Avraham's descendants following in Avraham's footsteps, right? The covenant was based on Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and the lives that they lived and their children being taught. In fact, Hashem says, right, how can I hide from Avraham what I'm going to do in the beginning of Parshas Vayera? Because he commands his whole household to follow him, right? So Hashem is saying, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying here, you know what's going to activate the bris and the chesed of Hashem that he had with the avos and the imaos? Davka when ekev tishmon. You know why? Because by the avos and the imaos, and this is a theme that we've come to many, many times. This is something that we've spoken many, many times about. When it comes to the avos and the imaos, there's no, they had a total, the whole sense of bitul hadas. They totally mevatel their das to the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? We talk about this often. And there's a reason why. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that every day we should say the Akedah. Why say the Akedah every day? The laning, the theme of Rosh Hashanah, right? It's already getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. Ay, okay, but let's not look at the Akedah from the Rosh Hashanah perspective, right? We've spent a lot of time in the past learning about that. But just talking about the Akedah from the perspective of this being the greatest Nisayon for Avraham Avinu, what was the Nisayon of the Akedah all about, right? We've spoken about it so often, that it was Avraham Avinu being Mevatel his Das to Hashem. About Avraham Avinu saying, really, Hashem, I understand nothing. Clearly, I don't understand anything. Why is that? Because Avraham Avinu's whole life is preaching to the whole world, is willing to give his life up, that there's one God, and this God is moral, and this God wants us to act in a certain way, and things like child sacrifice are abhorrent to our God, abhorrent to the one real God. And comes God, comes Hashem, and says to Avraham Avinu, what? Take your child and kill him. And Avraham Avinu could have been like, what are you talking about? Hayitachin, how could this be? This isn't the God that I believe in. I don't get it, right? But that wasn't what Avraham Avinu did. Avraham Avinu was mevatel his das, and he said, okay, if this is what the Eibusher said, this is what I'm going to do. And so, according to Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chassid Aleinu, whose father's yahrzeit was today, Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, he says that this is really what's going on in this pasuk. Vayakev Tishmon, Rashi is telling us that the small mitzvahs, again, we know from Pirkei Avos, there's no such thing as a small mitzvah. Pirkei Avos says mefurish. That's exactly the point. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was highlighting. That a life of Torah mitzvahs, a life where you want Hashem to guard his bris, his chesed, asher nishpa lavo secha, so then you know what? You have to follow the paths of the Avos Nimaos. And you know what that means? That means Ekev Tishmon. Then when Hashem says something, it doesn't go through your filter. Do I agree with what Hashem says? Do I agree with what Torah says? Right? We don't do that. This is the Ratzon Hashem. This is Hashem's will. It doesn't matter what Hashem's will is. What my will is. It doesn't matter what my perception is. And this is something that we know, of course, is a great challenge. It's a great challenge for so many. This was the challenge of Adam and Chava and Gan Eden, right? The Eitz Hadas, Tov V'Ra, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Chava, according to many, wanted to eat from it because we don't want Hashem to tell us what's good and evil. We want to decide what's good and bad. And good and bad, we know, are subjective terms, right? What's good today is going to be bad in 10 years from now. What was good 10 years ago, today is bad. You know, these are subjective terms. And so, really, Avram Avinu was, as we've said many times, is misakin the sin of Adam v'Chava, because what did he do? He brought in this notion of Eitz Hadas Tov Vara, right? He brought it, he was misakin this concept that we don't know what's good and what's bad, only Hashem does. And that's what Moshe is telling the Klal Yisrael, is you go into the land. Because especially here, when you're in the Midbar, okay, in the Midbar, Hashem's presence is palpable and obvious and clear. But you're going to go into a land, and there are going to be laws about Staka, Leket Shikram Peya, Shemitah, seventh year, next year, Shemitah farmers. Just let your, and you could say logically, this doesn't make sense, right? You can explain anything. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, V'haya Ekev Tishman. When you make sure that you listen to the Ekev, the little things, that is when Vishamar Hashem Elokecha L'cha, that's when Hashem is going to guard the bris and he's going to keep to the covenant and the chesed that he swore to do to your ancestors. And that's why some of Farshim also explained that Ekev, the heel, right, that you step on with the heel also, heel, that's one level. Mitzvahs that seem small to you, that you have to recognize that it's not for me to decide. And that and we have to take all of the mitzvahs of Hashem seriously. And we have to pay attention to big and small alike, you know. And obviously, we don't mean in an obsessive way to be, you know, obsessive about every tiny detail. And, you know, obviously, everything is kept in perspective. But it means that when you're dealing with Ratzon Hashem, we're not the arbiter. And we have to know that. And therefore, again, you're right. There is no such thing as a small mitzvah or a big mitzvah. And that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us. But then there's another pshat. V'ya'ekev tishmun. What's also unique about the heel? Why do you step on things with the heel? Because the heel doesn't feel pain so much in the same way. You don't have the same nerve endings in the heel the way that you do in the other parts of the bodies. V'ya'ekev tishmun. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, and again, this wasn't, I do not believe this is the Rebbe's Chiddush. There are many others before that discussed this idea, but I saw it in one of his Svarim, so I'll quote it from him. V'ya'ekev tishmun means, what's Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jewish people? That there are times that you're not going to have any feeling towards Torah mitzvahs. There are times you're not going to feel inspired at all. We know there are times we do feel inspired, right? Ne'ilah, we feel inspired. We feel inspired Seder night. We feel inspired when we're sitting in a sukkah, when we light the Hanukkah candles. And maybe davening Friday night, we're inspired. But there are so many times, v'ya ekev, when you are b'chinas ekev, when you're in the aspect of the heel, that you mamish have no feeling towards anything. You're just not motivated. You're not inspired. V'ya'ekev tishman. If you can listen to Hashem, if you can observe what Hashem tells us to do, b'chinas ekev, when things are in such a low place, when you're mamish not feeling anything, that's when v'shamar Hashem elokecha l'chesed bris v'sachesed. You know why? Because you know what a bris is? You know what a covenant is? A bris is a commitment to the other side. You don't need to make a commitment when everything is great. A commitment is not about when you're feeling wonderful about the person. What is a commitment? A commitment is when you're not feeling great about the other side. A commitment is when, you know, that other person needs help and you feel like, really, do I want to do that? That's a commitment. You made a commitment. It's davka when you don't have feeling. For your ekev tishmon, Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us. Again, first is about intellectually our perceptions. The second is just emotionally, psychologically. When we're not feeling anything, when we're done. You know, we feel like we can't daven. We feel like we can't learn. We feel like, you know, I don't want to be nice. I don't want to do this chesed for this other person. That's goof exactly when you do the chesed. You hear it? That's exactly what it means to be part of a covenant. That's the covenant we all were bound, not only to Hashem, but we were all bound to each other in a covenant, right? And so therefore, via Ekev Tishmun, a second shot in Ekev Tishmun, is in the heel, when a person is not feeling anything. When a person, just like that heel, the nerve endings in the heel, are not, you know, it's not as sensitive a part of the body as so many other parts. But that's exactly the point that Moshe, why he throws in this word Akif, to teach us the second lesson. That the challenge of Judaism is not when you're feeling, wow, gewalt, the geschmack, everything's awesome. The challenge of Judaism is when you're like, I'm in a bad mood, I don't want to daven, I don't want to talk to any other people, right? You know, that's the real challenge. And that's what Revolbi talks about in the Sefer Alei Shor, about Yemei Ahava v'Yemei Sinah. He talks about days of love and days of hate. That's what Revolbi refers to it as, days of love and days of hate. And it's based on Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYashar, one of Rashi's grandsons, one of the great Rishonim, that it's natural that there are days when you're going to love God, and it's natural days you're going to hate God. Yemei Ahava, Yemei Sinah, that things are just not going well. Right, and he says, of course, that that's the Bria. The whole world was created this way. How do we know the world was created this way? Because what does the Torah describe as the first day? Vayi erev, vayi voker. It's natural. It's built into the very fabric of reality, physical, that there are times of darkness and times of light. In any relationship, you can have that. There are times that, you know, I want to kill my kids, and right? And there are times that I love my kids. No. I always love my kids, even when I want to kill them, right? Right? But that's why Yerev Ivoker, that's why you Ekev Tishmon, a second shot, from the Lubavitch Rebbe. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us. And now here's a third pshat that the Bnei Yisachar says. The Bnei Yisachar, Reb Hirschmeilich of Dinov, we've quoted him so much, Zechusig in Aleinu. So he has another pshat. Vaya Ekev Tishmon. Even if you're only going to listen to Hashem, Ekev means the heel, also means the end. It's the bottom of the person's body. It's the mamash. The heel is the end of your body, right? It's the end. Vaya Ekev Tishmon, the Bnei Yisachar says, if you're only going to listen to Hashem, at the Ekev, at the end of the year. Meaning, when do some people start getting motivated to serve Hashem? Elul, as you start hearing that shofar. I know it sounds crazy. A week from Monday, we're starting that shofar. A week from Monday is already the shofar, is Aleph Elul. So, Vayekev Tishmiun, the Bnei Yisachar says that Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, saw all of Jewish history. Moshe Rabbeinu saw everything that was going to be the greatest of the prophets. Vayekev Tishmiun, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that even when you have a Jew that all year long is not motivated, all year long the Jew isn't doing anything, but Ya'akev Tishmon, when a person wakes up at the end of the year, you start hearing that shofar, you start thinking, oh my gosh, I have a din that's coming. That's why Dafka Tishmon is HaMishpatim Ha'ela, that you hear the judge, the Mishpatim, the laws, right? Like a judge is going to be judging you, Mishpatim, Ushmartim, Vasisam Osam, and you do them, Vashamartim, a lashon of keeping the laws. And that's Vashamar Hashem Lecha, Elokecha Lecha, Esabris Vesachesed, Asher Nishpala Vosecha. The Bnei Yisachar says, even a Jew, that all year long, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, there's still value to what you do in the month of Elul. And what does this mean? A person should never think that what? A person should never think, ah, all year long I haven't kept Shabbos properly. Now I should keep Shabbos properly. All year long I haven't been careful about how I speak about people. All year long I didn't really care to tell people. Now I'm going to be a hypocrite, right? Rabbi of mine famously said, in Judaism it's a mitzvah to be a hypocrite, you know? Because what do you mean? Yeah, I'm a hypocrite. No. That's the Yitzhahara telling you I'm a hypocrite. Be a hypocrite. Give out. Be a hypocrite. Be a holy hypocrite, right? Meaning, you're right, all year long you didn't do it. Bnei Yisachar says, you're right, all year long you made mistakes, but you know what? Vaya Ekev Tishmon. That even when you come to the Ekev, even when you come to the end of the year, Tishmon es Mishpatim. And again, it's all lashon of laws and judgment. V'shamer, v'asisem, v'shamer, Hashem Elokecha, right? Hashem is Elokim, as judge. L'chas abris, v'sacheset, Hashem nishpala v'secha. Even when you only keep it at the end. And then comes a fourth pshat. I know there are a lot of pshatim in Ekev, but each one brings a very, very beautiful kenech, a beautiful, beautiful insight into the pasuk that the one before doesn't. And so you can have four divrei Torah: Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, and at Lav Malka, right? You have a divrei Torah for each suda. So what's the fourth pshat from the Chiddush Yerim? The great Geir Rebbe, Zechusa Gin Aleinu, we've discussed it before, but we always have to discuss it. because we find ourselves in just crazy, crazy times. Crazy times on every level, right? And we know, Vaya Ekev, you know what the Ekev it's talking about? Ikfas Ad Mashiach, the end of history. In Ikfas Ad Mashiach, when we're in the heels of the Messiah, right? Which means it's time of great excitement. Times that you're going to be seeing things that no generations before us have ever seen. And that's true. Again, I said it on Tisha B'Av, I've said it in a drasha. You know, we see things and we just take it for granted and it just goes over our head. But do you realize what this means in the scheme of Jewish history? Like the thing I've quoted a lot, when Shimon Peres, President Peres, passed away, Shimon Peres, Zichrono Livracha, so his levaya was attended by over 70 heads of state, presidents, prime ministers, heads of state. And the levaya, if you remember, it was a Friday. And they made it very early on Friday. And they curtailed the number of speeches on Friday. You know why? Because for all these heads of states to get out before Ben-Gurion Airport closes on Shabbos, they had to cut their levaya short. Now, someone commented, I saw this comment on social media. Someone said, can you imagine if you took a time machine back 100 years? He died, what, like 4 years ago, 5 years ago? What was it, 2016, 2017? Something like that. Imagine you go back 100 years ago, 1960, 1917. You tell a Jew in Poland, you know, in 100 years, there's going to be a Jewish president. He's going to die. His levaya is going to be Erev Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. 70 heads of all the Medinas are going to come. And the levaya is going to be cut short because they closed the airport on Shabbos and they all had to fly out before Shabbos. Think about what a Jew in Poland would tell you 100 years ago. He would say two things. Either you're a lunatic, or what would he say? It's Mashiach Zayin. It's Mashiach's time. So we're living in Ikfas Ad Mashiach. We hear the footsteps. We have to. You're crazy if you don't hear it. But we know by Ekev that at that end of days, it's also going to be the lowest time in all of society. It's going to be the most immoral, atheistic time in all of history. And unfortunately, mamish, we see it, we hear it. We are in the Ekev of history. We are in the lowest, you know, people talk about the armpit of the world, you know, the armpit of America, New Jersey, no, Nachashon, right? But the heel of history is now the lowest place. When people are already deadened, people don't feel, people don't believe, people, you know, used to be, you know, 200 years ago, 300 years ago, not to believe in a God. What were you? You're crazy. Everyone believed in something, right? Mm-hmm. Do you realize where we are now? We're mamish, the Ekev, and says, V'haya Ekev Tishma. V'haya is a Lashon Simcha. The Chiddush Hayom says, you can listen, even in Ikfas Ad Mashiach. A Jew who's able to tishman, to listen and observe Hashem's commandments in the Ikfas Ad Mashiach, v'shamar Hashem Elokecha l'chos abris v'sachesed, asher nishba al avosecha. Do you understand what it's going to be in Ikfas Ad Mashiach to hold on to the mitzvahs of Hashem? V'haya is lashon simcha, the Gemara tells us. V'haya means something happy. V'hi is bad. V'hi b'me'ach HaShverosh. That's bad. V'hi is bad. Something bad. V'haya is lashon good. Simcha. Right? So v'haya ekev tishmiun. That you're going to be able to listen in Ikfas Ad Mashiach. Do you realize what a blessing that is? Do you realize the challenge that's going to be also? It's going to be a tremendous challenge, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us chizuk davka for that. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us chizuk davka for that time of Ikfas Ad Mashiach, that it's going to be so tough, that it's going to be such a challenge. And V'haya, we have to know that Moshe Rabbeinu already saw where we are. Moshe Rabbeinu already understood the struggles that we're dealing with, and Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us to hold on. V'haya ekev tishmun v'shamar Hashem elokech elecha. Understand, and that's also Vaya Ekev, just combining the first pshat and the last pshat, that this is something also we've said very often, that there's no such thing as a small mitzvah, especially, there's never a small mitzvah. There's no such thing as a small mitzvah. We don't know the cheshbonus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Mamash, you coming out here to learn tonight, you signing on to learn with us tonight, do you realize who knows what it's fixing up in heaven? You don't know what Aliyah is bringing to the whole world. Maybe we're going to bring Mashiach right here, us learning together, these mitzvahs that we're doing, but also specifically in Ikfas Ad Mashiach, when the world is so dark,
when the world is mamish in such a low place, we have the opportunity that mamish everything we do is cherished. Everything that we do, every word of tefillah, every word of Torah, every word of love and chizuk that we share and kindness that we share to another Jew, you can't underestimate it. You can't. Vaya Ekev Tishma. So these three pshatim of Ekev. Ekev, Moshe is saying, Dafka, the small mitzvahs. Why? Because when you pay attention and you're careful about the small mitzvahs, what are you showing? You're showing, you know there's no such thing as a small mitzvah. You're showing that by Hashem, everything is really one. And you mevatel das, whatever the Eibishter says, even though I perceive this as small, by the Eibishter, it's gewalt, it's garhelik, it's important, and it's very holy. The second pshat of Ekev, of course, was that the Lashon of Ekev, the Ekev here is not talking about, you know, intellectually, but we're talking about Ekev when you emotionally are just not feeling anything, that healed, that you gotta push on, right? Third pshat, the B'nai Yisachar, Ekev is talking about the end of the year, Elul. Be a holy hypocrite. Don't say, you know what, this is what I've done my whole life. This is what I've done. Now I should change? Yes, now you should change. Right? The Rambam says in Hilchot Teshuvah, a person, his whole life, he does a sin, mamish, on his last day, on his deathbed, he or she could do tshuva. And that last one, what? So what? A person sinning, you say, just continue to sin. You're crazy. And the fourth pshat from the Chiddush Yerim and others, by Ye'ekev Tishmun and Ikfsa the Mashiach. There's a unique challenge that we're facing now when we hear the footsteps of Mashiach, that we're so close to the greatest time in all of history. We're close to being the great light being revealed. And because of that, there's great darkness in the world. Unbelievable, unparalleled darkness in all of Jewish history. And this is a tremendous challenge. But it's already a little bit late, but there's one other pshat. You know, there are a number of other things that I want to say. I apologize. But there's one thing that I have to share. And it's such an important idea. And it relates to Ekev. I mean, there are a number of ideas I wanted to say that is not related to Ekev, so I'm going to chuck them out the window next year, sure. Right? But there's one here that is related to Ekev. You ever wonder, it doesn't make sense, what's pshat that the Jewish people had such difficulty with the man? What was the problem, right? They complain about the man time and time and time again. And Moshe Rabbeinu calls them out for it here. In Perek Ches Pasuk Gimel, page 982, Vayancha vayarivecha vayachilcha es aman, asher liyadata v'liyadun avosecha, right? And Hashem afflicted you, and you were made hungry, and he fed you the man. So what does that mean, vayancha, that Hashem afflicted you? Maybe Hashem afflicted you with hunger, but it implies that maybe giving the man was a source of affliction, you're not really sure. But then you look at the next page 984, Perik Ches Pasuk Tezvav, it seems clear, right? Hamachilcha man bamidbar, Hashem fed you the man in the desert, asher lo yidona vosecha, that your ancestors didn't know, leman anoscha, to afflict you, uleman asosecha, and to challenge you, le'etivcha ba'achrisecha, to do good for you ultimately. What does it mean? Here it seems almost clear that the man is somehow an affliction. What does that mean? What does it mean that the man's an affliction? Lamana noscha, right? You hear what I'm saying? No? You hear the question? I mean, how does the art scroll translate it? Who feeds you man in the wilderness or in order to afflict you? Yeah, what does that mean? What's the affliction of the man? So you have some who say, very simple, what's the affliction of the man? What was the affliction of the man? That they didn't know if they were getting it every day. Meaning, if Hashem just gave them a massive amount of grain, dropped grain from the sky, gewaldig, we're good, right? We're going to eat the rest of the month, the rest of the year. We're good, we're fine, right? The Gemara, in fact, talks about this. But what's the challenge, vayancha, of the man, lamana noscha? What's the affliction of the man? That every day you had to wait. Every day, you don't know if you're going to have it tomorrow. You don't know if you can have it the next day. That's really like an affliction. The Gemara talks about it. The Gemara, I think it was a Gemara in Yuma that said, not too long ago, Daf Yomi learned it, that a person who has their parnasa for the year, that person's in a good place. Person has parnasa for a month, okay. Person has parnasa for a week, okay. Person only has their parnasa for a day. That's a horrible tzara. That's a great tragedy. That's really being a person only knows they have food for that day. What about the next day? So that's one level. But there's also another pshat. There's another pshat that you find in the Sifrei Chassidus, you find in some of the Sifrei Kabbalah. Human beings, are very finite creatures. Human beings have a lot of difficulty with things that are infinite. Human beings have a lot of difficulty with things that just blow the lids off nature, right? We're made very uncomfortable by it. Right? What do we know about the man? It was miraculous. Mm-hmm. It could taste like anything. They had never seen it before. Human beings, we like boxes. We like to fit people into boxes, situations into boxes. And then comes something that just blows the box away. There's no such thing as a box anymore. Mm-hmm. Then what? You're like, this is awkward. Like, what do we do? Right? And so the human being that is mukbal, that has constraints and limits, very often we're uncomfortable by things that don't seem to have limits and constraints. In fact, we've mentioned before many years ago on the drasha, I don't know how many years ago, it could be 18 years ago, you know, that Rav Nevenzal quotes, I know I've quoted in a shir more recently, Rav Nevenzal, when Lot leaves Avram Avinu, it says that Lot travels Mikedem. Lot travels from the east, right? So it's a little strange, pasuk unclear, and Chazal say he traveled Mikadmonu Shalolam, from the one who preceded the world. Lot was moving, because it's a strange language in the pasuk. So Lot was traveling away from Hashem. Rav Nevenzal has a pshat, a beautiful pshat, that Lot was traveling away from Avram Avinu. He couldn't stand being near Avram. You know why? Lekadeh means to also to advance. Lot was just so blown away that Avram Avinu didn't stop. He kept growing. And Lot was so mukbal, Lot was so finite, he was so, you know, he placed so many limitations on himself. He was like, I can't deal with my uncle / brother-in-law who just keeps growing, who doesn't seem to stop in his quest and growth towards spirituality. And so when you talk about the challenge of the man, the affliction of the man was that people were being confronted by something, and that's what the pasuk is. Something asher lo yodun avosecha. Your ancestors didn't know this. This was totally new. This was not part of the bria. This wasn't part of the natural order, this thing called the man. It was something without limits, without borders, and then people were uncomfortable by it. And that's why tzaddikim explain there are people that are uncomfortable with Torah. There are people uncomfortable with Torah and mitzvahs, right? That's why people are very uncomfortable very often about what? Thinking about their own potential. Mm-hmm. People hate to hear the word potential. So much potential. Why? Because we like boundaries. We like limits. They're comfortable to us. When you take away a person's limits, when you know, the sky's the limit. What does that mean, the sky's the limit? You hear the phrase, right? The sky, what does it mean, the sky's the limit? It means you're limitless. That's very uncomfortable for us. Mm-hmm. We're uncomfortable because, like, I could do so much, you know? So that's something when you talk about, it was a pshat, but how it fits in with the Akev, think about it. Meaning it fits in with the Akev so beautifully, with a number of the pshatim, not all the pshatim, but it fits in with a number of the pshatim there, that there's an affliction in the month. There's an affliction by someone who sees the world one way, all of a sudden opening their eyes and saying, wow, look at what you can do, right? And so I think Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us a deep Torah. That was the lesson of the month. Not only that Hashem's going to provide for you, don't worry, but that the natural world, and really no boundaries to the natural world. Don't constrain yourself. You can blow by it all. You can do unbelievable things, grow in ways that you never could have perceived. And so that's, I think, a very important lesson here that Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us, and something that answers a question that bothered me for a long time. In fact, when I was learning, my daughter Racheli learned Akev this year. She's in eighth grade. And they're learning a lot number of pshatim, what anoscha means. What does it mean that Hashem afflicted them with the man? I remember one time driving her to school in Piscataway, and we're schmoozing. What does it mean? How does Hashem afflict them with the man? And it really made me uncomfortable. Like, you know, the challenge, the classic answers, because they don't have it every day, and she was happy with it. But it made me think, there has to be something. And then I found this pshat. The idea that the man was without limits, and we're human beings, when you look only at this world, when you look at what's in front of you, we know the Torah says, don't look at what's in front of you, don't trust your eyes, right? And the whole Maamid Har Sinai, as we discussed last week, was seeing sounds and hearing sights. You know, don't believe your senses. And that's part of the lesson of the man, but that was an affliction
for a people that were slaves coming out, that was very hard for them to deal with. That was very, very hard for them to deal with. So, okay, just the last final thought to think about in the parsha. Yishkoyach, thank you for coming out tonight and learning. Just really enjoy being in person. Mm-hmm. And Bez Hashem, for those that are online, Bez Hashem, you'll come join us one time. Have a good Shabbos.